Live from Houston, Texas, this is Big Ideas Small Business with your host, Laura Camrath and Brian Gendron. And now, the music of Max Flynn.
I'm starting to feel a little crazy again. I think it's time I start to pack my things.
Hey, Brian, how's it going?
Hey, Laura Camrath.
Happy Tuesday.
It is Tuesday. It's another beautiful day in Houston.
Yeah, it actually is a really gorgeous day.
And we chose to be here with you inside.
Hey, guys.
But we are on the second floor of my building, which is hopefully a little bit better light. It looks like it's better light. So yeah. For our video watchers, you can actually see our pretty faces.
Yeah.
But this is Big Ideas Small Business. And it's good to be back together. What have you been up to?
I actually just got back from a family weekend in San Antonio.
Oh, wow.
So I had my dad, my sister, and I all have birthdays in March. So we did a family birthday weekend. And I guess we had Paddy's Day Saturday night.
Yes, we did.
Did you do anything cool for Paddy's Day?
I played some poker, played some lacrosse. Total bro day.
Yeah.
Nice. Drink some green beer. Yeah, did the whole thing.
Yeah, I did not drink green beer. I did not even wear green. I forgot it was Paddy's Day, and so I didn't pack a green shirt, and I felt bad.
You
somebody
should
have pinched me.
You didn't get pinched. Okay. They
I didn't
have.
Get pinched. So today we're gonna talk about follow up.
Don't fumble your follow up.
Fumble your follow-up.
It's something
like a football term.
Yeah, follow-up is something that it's so important you take seriously. It's not your first impression. It's kind of your second impression.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, there's a number of reasons you would follow up. You know, the most obvious is that you sort of meet somebody for the first time. That's the second impression. It may be as simple as just following up after a meeting, sharing your notes from the meeting, maybe following up after you've delivered a service to a client to make sure that they've had a good experience and solicit reviews. Follow-up is part of so many parts of the sales process.
Well, you could look at follow-up also as part of the cold calling process. So, you know, if you are doing cold calling, a lot of people will stop after one or two calls. And the truth is that you may not reach somebody until call number 5 or call number 7. And but a lot of people stop at call number 1 or call number 2. They never get through to the person, they give up. So,
or they do get through to the person and they give up.
Yeah, or they reach them and the person maybe is busy at that time and they don't call back.
Right. So, you know, one of the things you can do, one of the keys to this is having some sort of system in place, having your CRM that can, I guess, sort of alert you when it's time to follow up with clients.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, like Laura said, they might just could be busy, and that's true. I mean, you get sales calls and you're busy and it's not a good time.
Yeah.
It literally means it's not a good time. It doesn't mean necessarily they don't want your stuff.
I mean, I get calls from, you know, American Express or whoever, and you know, I don't know. I'm probably not really interested in the service, but, you know, if they call me and I'm about to get into an elevator, you know, that's not a good time to talk. Or if I'm about to go into a meeting, that doesn't mean, like, I wouldn't talk to them if they called at a time when I wasn't busy. So, you know, I think there is a lot of that. You know, somebody might call and it's not that they don't want to talk to you, but they might really be busy.
That's right. So it's important that, you know, if they say no the first time, it might not necessarily mean no forever, and you still want to have that follow-up action in place.
Right.
There's also different ways you can make that next move. So, you know, or if let's say you can't get past the gatekeeper, or the phone keeps on ringing, or they're not returning your voicemails, you're not leaving voicemails. You know, the obvious one, have you tried email? But even have you tried snail mail? Have you tried fax? And I'm not kidding, fax mail. It's a good way to get in front of somebody. They see the fax machine.
That's a new thing. Like, people have gone back to that.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, they see that machine working in the corner. They forgot
like,
they even
had.
Send
me a fax.
And the office manager is excited to go give it to the boss because he actually got one. But, you know, there's don't give up and try different things. And the last one is kick down that door and show up in person, breakfast for the office or whatever it may be. But don't give up after the first one or two no's, for sure.
Can I tell you a story?
Please.
So my mom's a master gardener.
Yes, she is.
And she's got these beautiful tomato plants in the backyard. One day I went over there and my mom's like, you know, I've been looking at these tomatoes. The tomatoes are growing, but they're still green. So I think I'm just gonna rip them out and I'm just gonna plant some new tomato plants. And I'm like, Mom, that's crazy. You know, they're just green. You just have to ripen them up a little bit and then they're gonna be, you know, they're gonna be tomatoes. And okay, so that's actually not a true story. I just made that up. but the whole point is that we do the same thing as entrepreneurs and small business owners, is we keep trying to get leads and keep trying to get leads, and we don't follow up with them appropriately. We don't wait for them to turn into ripe tomatoes, that we just say, oh, this lead didn't buy from me right now, and I'm just gonna tear them out and go look for another lead. Why would you do that? You know, you wouldn't do that with a tomato plant. Why would you do that with your leads? Right. So, you know, if you can build a follow-up system that continues to nurture those leads, continues to follow up with those people, even after, you know, initial communication, whether they decided to buy from you or not, if they did buy from you, maybe they might be in the, you know, willing to buy something more.
Right.
If they didn't, then maybe they're just not ready yet. Maybe they just need a little more relationship building or a little more trust building with you.
Well, here's the key, and you mentioned the word system. You need to have a system in place. And so I'll quickly walk you through my system. There's parts of it that are automated and there's parts of it that aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that's my preference. One of the things that kind of irks me as a business owner is when I get the automated email, and I know it's an automated email, and I continue to get them. And so I try not to be in that pack. And then there's ways to do it right, and I'm sure you can cover some of that. But when I get it on the other side of it, I don't like it. So one of the things I try to focus on, and I think I've talked about it before, but you know, the old school, the handwritten note, especially if it's after, you know, a first appointment or a visit or potentially something in person, I always like to go that way. And then I also have, you know, the email tool that get put into my MailChimp, but mm-hmm. you know, you can use Constant Contact or Infusionsoft or whatever your tool is. And then I send them out an automated, you know, this is more about me, more about my business.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how you can schedule an appointment with me. Here's a video about my business. And that's kind of the nice intro that they get electronically.
Mm-hmm.
They get the one in the mail. And then, you know, obviously the phone call follow-up and things you have to do if those don't get the response that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, doing the handwritten notes has led to business I don't have the percentages around it, but that almost mm-hmm. always creates a lasting relationship. It's a really good touch, and it's really something that you sit down and do.
Yeah.
So they understand that and respect that.
Yeah, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. But there's a system, right? You know, make sure all those business cards are put in there. If there's going to be handwritten notes, I kind of put those off to the side, and make sure everybody gets put into the email system. They're all tagged based on, you know, either where I met them or if they might be a customer, if they might be a networking partner or an industry partner, or some, in some cases, more than one tag.
Yeah.
And then I've got a way to stay in touch with them over time. Got an organized way to have that my contacts.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the system. And then from there, it's, you know, after a month goes by and there's no activity, CRM says, hey, Brian,
mm-hmm.
you put this contact in there, you might want to follow up with them.
Oh,
so there is some automation in there as well, but that's how I handle follow-up, really kind of from the initial meeting on. And there's some other areas where you follow up, right?
Yeah, so I actually have a cool system too. I have Infusionsoft, which I'm a certified partner with Infusionsoft, but Infusionsoft actually has an app. Oops. So Infusionsoft has an app on the phone, and I can actually go into the app and select add contact and just scan people's business cards.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually real people somewhere in the world who type that all in, and they, you know, convert it to text and save it into your contact database.
Mm-hmm.
And so then once a contact is saved in, I can actually apply a tag, And so I could actually apply a tag that says, like, for example, I just went to Digital Marketers Traffic and Conversion Summit in San Diego, and I met probably 30 people there, and I came back with a stack of 30 cards that, you know, if I went to follow up with each one of those people individually, it would probably take forever. But of course, I didn't do that. So I scanned all their cards, and I went into Infusionsoft and I built an email that said, "It was so great to meet you at Traffic and Conversions. I'm looking forward to staying in touch." And I put a nice picture of me with my digital marketer partner manager. And I started the email with a tag. So, and then I went into the all those contacts and I just tagged them with that tag, and it just, boom, sent them the email. So, you know, 30 people got an email all at once. And yeah, it was a automated email, but you know, those are people I just met. And the advantage of being able to follow up that quickly is huge, because you know, chances are for us who don't have a system like that, that we come back with those 30 cards and we get sidetracked with our important, you know, catching up with work, and before you know it, 2 weeks have gone by and you haven't sent the email, and then you're like, you know, now it's kind of too late and they're not gonna even remember me, and you know, and then that stack of cards goes into the trash.
That's exactly right. And there's no doubt that you need to do it quickly. I remember I amassed a number of business cards when I was younger in my career, none of which got follow-ups. It's a sad, sad box to go through. It's just, yeah, you know, wasted opportunities. Yeah. But one of the things you mentioned is a thing that I've added to my email tool, which is I have additional fields, right? You can create custom fields in almost any of these systems, Infusionsoft, Constant Contact, MailChimp. And there's two fields. The first field is just a blank, it was nice to meet you, and then fill in the rest, at da, 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 da. And the second one is, that's just a sentence, an open sentence, which is a follow-up action. So if you put nothing goes in there. But if you have an extra minute, say, hey, this is what we should do, here's the next step, here's what I think, and just spend an extra couple minutes just thinking through how you can customize that, or use that open-ended section to say something that's a little more personalized.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much time. They may never see it, but they may see it and be like, oh, that's interesting. This is not a traditional follow-up email. This is a little different.
Yeah.
So I like to have those just to stand out in some ways.
Or, you know, I mean, oftentimes you go to an event and you come away with 30 cards, but maybe only three of those did you really have, you know, oh, we went out for beers and we talked for 3 hours and it was awesome and he's doing some really cool stuff and maybe we could work together, you know, you might have three of those. Mm-hmm. So maybe those three people you could follow up individually, and, you know, maybe for the rest, send an automated email.
So I think we're talking a lot about email, certainly, and a bit about phone call when we started. One area that's gotten pretty widely used is LinkedIn follow-up. Hey, thanks for the connection, let's take a next step. And have you seen anything there have you seen an uptick in that? Because I have.
Yeah, I would say I've seen some of that. I mean, I guess for me, when I have somebody contact me on LinkedIn, like most of the time, the way I find out about it is through email. So it's almost like, well, what's the point? But, but I think especially if I go to an event and I see someone and they didn't have a card, it's great to have LinkedIn, because, you know, I don't know why these crazy people show up to events without cards, but.
Right. Because that's another part of my process, which I didn't go into. And again, none of this is necessarily automated. Maybe you can tell me Infusionsoft will go out and do this for me. But I go out and submit that LinkedIn request, submit that Facebook request, so that when we're doing things like Big Ideas Small Business, or I'm teaching a class at UH, or I've got a promotion going on, or an event for my, that they all see that, and they get that exposure, and I stay top of mind. And so just trying to widen my visibility, you know, by using some of these platforms that are widely used. But I have noticed in doing so, people are having communication go through there and leaving it out of email altogether, which is interesting.
Yes. Yeah.
Email's definitely getting cluttered. And I don't think anybody could argue about that.
Yeah.
LinkedIn is actually a little surprisingly less cluttered, for at least in my world.
Yeah. So I'd like to also mention, using Infusionsoft, I've built myself a sales pipeline dashboard. So when I, you know, say I go to an event, like I in San Diego at Digital Marketers Traffic and Conversions, I met a gentleman. He was manning a booth that does business loans. He does business loans. And we started talking about his business and what I do. And he said, oh, you know, my wife needs that. She has a law firm in California somewhere, and she needs content marketing. And I was like, well, awesome. You know, if you want to pass along my card to her, or let me know if I should give her a call. And so somebody like that, he would go straight into my sales pipeline. That's somebody that I need to follow up with directly for a direct opportunity. And so, you know, my opportunities go from contacting, which is just, I mean, that could be, I'm trying to get in touch with someone. So now that he's given his info to his wife, maybe now she goes into contacting, because I haven't talked to her yet, but she's an opportunity. So, and then once I get in touch with her and she says, oh, well, why don't we have a meeting in 2 weeks? Then, you know, she goes into engaging. So now we're engaging, I'm talking to her. And then, you know, once I send a proposal, she can go into closing, because now I'm trying to close that proposal. And once it gets closed, then it's either won or lost. And so then you move it into won or lost. And then you have metrics as well. How many opportunities am I getting? And how many of those are closing? How long is it taking me to get somebody from, you know, contacting through to won or lost? And how long is it taking in each stage? And, you know, it's a way of not forgetting, first of all, because at every contact point with her, I can put a next action note, and it'll pop me up the task and say, it's time to give her a call, time to get in touch, time to follow up. And so, you know, I think a lot of us, because we are busy, we get opportunities and then we forget about them because we're just busy and we don't follow up and we don't remember what we were supposed to do because, you know, if you have 20 opportunities going on, it's going to be a lot of stuff to keep track of. So, you know, I really enjoy having that. It's made a big difference for me in my business. And I've also built the systems for customers. Had a customer who was an entertainment company, like a Dave & Buster's kind of place, and they didn't even know how many opportunities they were getting through the website, but you know, after I built their system, they found out they were getting like 150 a month, and they didn't have a really good system around it. So I built them a system with a dashboard so they could track everything and make sure they don't lose track of people, you know, sending them opportunities.
Yeah, so having that system is so huge. There's one thing you mentioned too, you know, it's won, lost, or somewhere in between. So sometimes, you know, it's an opportunity to, you know, well, maybe, or later.
Yeah.
Then you can get them into a track where they're getting regular emails about the opportunity.
Yeah.
And then you, of course, want to regularly give them a call and set up those actions. But there's a place for that too.
Yeah, I mean, I've had, like, customers where they were like, oh, well, you know, this or that, and I'm not really, I don't know. And so they're not really a no, and they're not really a yes. I mean, they're not a yes, but they're not, it's like, well, do I remove them from the pipeline, or like?
Yeah. And then there's follow-up, like, you know, if you understand they've got kids, and then there's birthdays, is there birthdays going on? In some industries, you're in a lucky position where you get to collect birthdays on the way in, healthcare, whatever it is. I don't get that opportunity, but you still got to find a way to ask and follow up that way. Just always be in front of your clients, your prospects, in front of anybody you can. And it's all, in my opinion, a part of follow-up and your strategy for follow-up.
Yeah.
So don't fumble the follow-up.
Yeah.
So what do we want to talk about? We want to talk about our apps that we use for follow-up, or do you want to talk about some thought leadership?
I want to do thought leadership next.
Let's do it.
So I have brought a book by Ryan Dice, who is the CEO and founder of Digital Marketer. And the book is called Invisible Selling Machine: 5 Steps to Crafting an Automated Evergreen Email Campaign That Literally Makes Sales While You Sleep. And so this is what I do for my customers. But I'm basically, in this book, he's outlining exactly how to build basically an automated digital marketing system where, you know, you can be generating leads online through Facebook or Google Ads or through your website, and those leads can be getting automatically followed up with without you having to actually do anything or be present or be there until it's time maybe to have a, you know, one-on-one conversation when they decide, because they've already seen your info and they already have had that relationship built without you even having to be there. You know, if you get to that point, maybe like for my business, I would book, you know, ask them to book a strategy session, or Brian might need to have an appointment or a meeting. But you know, for some businesses, it's you know, not even that. They could have digital products that could be sold from the you know, campaign. It could be an email campaign. There's even now Facebook Messenger marketing where you can actually build automated chatbots that can have a conversation with your prospective customers over Facebook Messenger chat.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention. That you can do, like, take Drift, for example, is a plugin to your website where you can have that bot conversation that literally goes through and qualifies that client for you to for you to set up these series of questions, yeah, to determine if they're the right fit or not. And then you can get back to them on your own time and rate them based on what their responses were,
yeah,
and figure out how you can go sell to these prospects on your, that's the most, yeah, efficient way for the results that you got.
Yeah, and actually that was the probably, what do you call it, key overarching message of the Digital Marketer Traffic and Conversion Summit, was that automation and technology is not there to replace humans, it's there to assist humans. And so we're not building a Facebook Messenger chatbot to, you know, close a big deal. We're building that to build a relationship, to qualify customers, you know, like Brian said, you know, maybe you want to know, if maybe you're a shoe shop and you want to know, are they looking for athletic shoes or dress shoes? You know, oh, okay, well, and then maybe you have a different track of messaging for someone looking for athletic shoes versus someone looking for dress shoes. You know, are they male or female? Well, certainly you want to know that, because, and actually if you did it through Facebook, you would already know that because Facebook knows that.
Well, in, you know, in those types of bot situations, you can also give them an out. So by that I mean, if they're unqualified for my business, for us sub 25 computer users generally means they're not qualified. You can set them up with a referral path to get them to somebody that would be a good fit to help them, and
yeah,
get an attaboy for sending over a lead or maybe,
mm-hmm,
you know, whatever it may be, but at least it doesn't get into your world where you're wasting cycles quoting a client that just isn't the right fit for you.
Yeah.
So that's those types of solutions, that type of automation, if set up properly, and there is a time, don't get me wrong, there is a time investment and a process to think this through and to fine tune these solutions as customers use it and you get their feedback,
yeah,
to get this thing right. And it evolves and changes, but it can be a very, very powerful way for you to get some time back and some qualified leads.
Yeah, but I mean, and there's also text messaging funnels. You can actually collect people's phone numbers and message them over text message. And the cool thing about text and messenger is that their open rate is extremely high, like 90% range.
You say their open rate or their angry rate?
Open.
Because the angry rate can go up too, depending on how.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, because especially text message, I think, seems a little more invasive than emailing,
mm-hmm,
that, you know, you want to treat it a little more
carefully. Use sparingly.
Yeah, use sparingly. But the thing is, If you send an email and 23% of your list opens it versus you send a text message and 90% or more, I think the open rate on text is like something ridiculous, like 98 or 99%. Because it's hard to ignore a text message.
That's right. Make it, well, a couple things. Make sure it's good content. Make sure you give them an out. And in my opinion, if they've given you your business card, they've given you permission to contact them, as long as their cell phone number's on there.
Yeah.
That is an act of permission. And if they opt out, then they're out. But also don't send them crap.
Yeah. Right? And the thing is, like, you want them to be able to opt out, because you don't honestly want people on your list who don't want to be there. You want people to be there because they want to be there. So
I agree with all those tools and techniques, and I'll be interested to read that. I haven't not read that book. So, Invisible Selling Machine, Ryan Dice. I didn't say that right.
Yeah.
Cool. And then the last thing we want to talk about is some tech for granted. So, there's a number of calendar tools that are out there that you can use. I've recently just finished up a 14-day trial of Calendly. I'm really, really liking it. And you said you used a different tool.
I use a tool called Appointment Core, and I use that because it integrates with my Infusionsoft. And also, you know, I can add my Outlook calendar to it so that I'm not getting double booked with meetings. You can add a Gmail calendar to it so that, you know, it blocks out times that your work calendar says you're not available.
Right.
Which is
important. So same deal. Calendly, I've got it set up with my HubSpot to make sure that it knows when these meetings are happening and with whom. Obviously, it's set up in my calendar. A couple things that we've learned about these tools. You know, they're great. These ones, I think yours is the cost too. It's low. Mm-hmm. It's like $8 a month or $12 for the advanced version of Calendly. I don't know what that one is, but it's cheap.
Yeah.
There are some free ones out there, but this service is really good. You get a link. You get a personalized link. Is it the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
At least for Calendly.
Yes.
And you can send it to somebody. You can send it to them in a Facebook Messenger or in LinkedIn. You can send it to them in an email. There's a number of ways you can get it to them. And then it just opens up your active calendar.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about some things to avoid there in a minute. But
yeah.
Opens up your active calendar and allows them to select a meeting. And they can accept one that's... You can offer up different types of meetings. You can offer up on-site, at your location, their location, somewhere in the middle, on the phone, 30 minutes, 15 minutes, hour, 2 hours, all day, however you want to slice it up, and send that to prospective people you want to meet with.
Yeah, and I think Calendly does this, but Appointment Core also allows you to set up different calendar links for different types of
different
appointments.
Types of
so
yeah.
I could have, like, 30-minute strategy sessions, and I could have a link for that, and I could set up, you can actually set up text message reminders and email reminders to go out to either you or your customer or both.
Mm-hmm.
And you can set up, you could set that up like a 30-minute link, and then you could set up, say you have a coaching business, you could set up 1-hour coaching appointments and do that as a separate link and have like a different set of reminders that's, you know, say, it's time for your coaching instead of it's time for your strategy session.
That's right. So in many ways, this is replacing a lot of, Martha, can you check my calendar?
Yeah.
I set up a meeting with Bob. So some of the executive assistant stuff, not all of it, and you know, they can do quite a bit for the people that they serve. But you know, this is one big thing that can get knocked out through technology.
Yeah.
Widely used. I don't have any problem with adoption. Everybody figures out how to use it, old and young. So.
And I think it also allows you to have more control over your calendar, because instead of just taking appointments whenever somebody wants one, you can set the appointment times when you want to have appointments, and then you can make your calendar link available and they can book appointments when you have said you're ready to do appointments.
So a couple important tips there, right? So to her point, you know, set your blocks up to where you want them to be. Make sure you leave time in between meetings, because we have not yet invented the ability to teleport. You need to oftentimes get in your car, or maybe even have a little bit of chance to make some phone calls, bio break, whatever.
Cup of coffee.
So give yourself 30 minutes between those slots for sure, if not more. And then you brought up some good points. Travel Pants does a lot of traveling, and you got to remember in advance in advance to go in and change your settings based on your travel plans.
Yeah, I don't know anyone who was at the Traffic and Conversions Summit having strategy sessions booked with me when I was not available with Wi-Fi. And then I was like, oh no, you know, so I had to then email people and let them know that I'd forgotten to book out the time on my calendar, but I'd be back in town the following week. So
yes, so you have to certainly have some discipline around keeping your electronic calendar up to date, and you should be okay. So those are a few tips that we've had. You know, you can again, you can set different types of meetings for different people. So there's certain people that you, customers, you like open your calendar up. Or there's another school of thought, which is keep it limited because you're a busy guy and they need to meet with you. Or it's a networking partner that's like, yeah, it's okay if I meet with them. You can push them out of like 2 weeks or a salesperson. However you want to do it, there is an option to change the calendars based on who you're talking to, who you're sending a link to. So check it out. There's a couple options out there. As I said, Calendly is the one I use, and
Appointment Core
is the one that Laura uses. So
there's also one that a lot of the Infusionsoft partners like called Schedule Once.
Schedule Once.
That I know that does multiple people. So if you have like a sales team of like six people or something, you could use that.
Yeah, if you, Microsoft FindTime allows you to do a poll. It says up to 250 users. That would be interesting. But that's another tool. That one's actually free if you're using Outlook. So
cool.
But don't phone me your follow-up. Schedule
your
appointments. Use technology. Yeah. Great systems. Pretty good Big Idea Small Business today.
Awesome.
All right. Well, anything else?
Thanks, everybody, for joining.
Thank you for joining. You guys go out and close some business.
Close some deals.
Central Texas rains, the strongest drink I've found.
Thank you for listening to Big Ideas Small Business. Follow us at BISB Media. And visit our website at www.bisbmedia.com.